So we're doing creeds for this fall because I realized a while back, not news to any of y'all, that there's so many divisions in our nation. There's so many things that are separating us. And I thought, as Christians, we have things that bind us together, that tie us together. And some of those things are creeds. And so each week we're saying together something that unites us. And I thank you for sharing in such a powerful witness of our faith. So we're continuing our sermon series on lesser-known superheroes of the Bible. Yesterday at our volunteer lunch, and by the way, we called them all superheroes because you are. So lesser-known superheroes of the Bible means that it takes a little explanation for some of these because they are lesser-known to us. So our story today will begin with hearing about how wealthy a certain man was. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he worked in the big city. Now, nowadays, that would probably be he was CEO of a company and had several vacation homes and drove a fancy car. And Scripture tells us this about him. And before we get too impressed and think, wow, this must be a really cool guy, then Scripture tells us his name, which you'll hear in a moment, which is Nabal. It turns out that means fool, or for the purposes of our time together, I'm just going to call him Blockhead. And in case you weren't sure enough about his character by his name, Blockhead, Scripture goes on to tell us that he was a hard man who did evil things. Blockhead. And then we hear about an encounter. And so here's what was going on. Blockhead, with his 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, had them out to pasture with shepherds out in the wilderness, far away. And at the same time, David, who had not yet become king, was on the run with about 600 of his men, trying to flee the onslaught of Saul, who wanted to kill David. And so David, while he was with 600 men, happened to be in the same wilderness as Blockhead and all of his sheep and goats and his shepherds. Now, I'm sure that lamb burger would have tasted really good to David and his 600 men who were on the run. But they chose to follow the Bedouin code. They chose to protect the sheep and the goats and the shepherds and make sure that nothing happened to Blockhead's riches. Well, that was good enough, but then time came for Blockhead to take his sheep for shearing. Now, having lived in a farming community for a while, I know that if you're in farming, you spend money 11 months out of the year, but then during harvest, you actually take in money. You make income that one time of the year. So it is for sheep owners, too. When it's time for shearing, it's time for you get paid finally. And so David heard that Blockhead's sheep were off being sheared, and so he decided that it would be a good time for Blockhead to return the favor and give his men some food. Blockhead, you're about to hear how Blockhead responds, but I want you to hear in this story for what Abigail does. And how Abigail, who is described as the intelligent and attractive wife of Blockhead, how she keeps a bigger problem from happening. So Jack, will you come on up?
As you can see, this scripture is from 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter, verses 2 to 13, 18 to 19, 25a, 26a, and then 32 to 33. There was a man in Maon who did business in Carmel. He was a very important man, and he owned 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. At that time, he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and attractive woman, but her husband was a hard man who did evil things. He was a Calebite. While in the wilderness, David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 servants, telling them, "Go to Carmel. When you get to Nabal, greet him for me. Say this to him, 'Peace to you, your household, and all that is yours. I've heard that you're now shearing sheep. As you know, your shepherds were with us in the wilderness. We didn't mistreat them. Moreover, the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs went missing. Ask your servants, they will tell you the same.' So please receive these young men favorably because we've come on a special day. Please give whatever you have on hand to your servants and to your son David. When David's young men arrived, they said all this to Nabal on David's behalf, and then they waited. But Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is David? Who is Jesse's son? There are all sorts of slaves running away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread, my water, and the meat I butchered for my shearers and give it to people who came here from who knows where?" So David's young servants turned around and went back the way they came. And when they arrived, they reported every word of this to David. Then David said to his soldiers, "All of you, strap on your swords." So each of them strapped on their swords, and David did the same. Nearly 400 men went up with David. 200 remained back with the supplies. Abigail quickly took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep ready for cooking, 5 sheahs of roasted grain, 100 raisin cakes, and 200 fig cakes. She loaded all this on a donkey and told her servants, "Go on ahead of me. I'll be right behind you." But she didn't tell her husband Nabal, "Please, my master, pay no attention to this despicable man Nabal. He's exactly what his name says he is. His name means fool, and he is foolish. I pledge my master, as surely as the Lord lives and you are, and as you live, that the Lord has held you back from bloodshed and taking vengeance into your own hands." David said to Abigail, "Bless the Lord God of Israel who sent you to meet me today, and bless you and your good judgment for preventing me from shedding blood and taking vengeance into my own hands today." This is the word of God for the people of God.
So there was a mafia godfather who one day realized that his bookkeeper had stolen $10 million from him. His bookkeeper was deaf. That actually was why he had gotten the job, so that he would not overhear any secrets that he would have to testify on in court. And so the godfather, when he went to confront this thieving bookkeeper, took his attorney, who also knew sign language. So the godfather asks the bookkeeper, "Where is the $10 million you embezzled from me?" The attorney signs to the bookkeeper, asking where the $10 million is hidden. The bookkeeper signs back, "I don't know what you're talking about." The attorney tells the godfather, he says he doesn't know what you're talking about. That's when the godfather pulls out a gun and puts it to the bookkeeper's temple and says, "Ask him again." The attorney signs to the bookkeeper, "He will kill you for sure if you don't tell him." The bookkeeper signs back frantically, okay, you win. The money is in a brown briefcase buried behind the shed in my cousin Enzo's backyard in Queens. The godfather asks the attorney, well, what did he say? The attorney says, "He says you don't have the guts to pull the trigger." So there are bad guys and there are bad guys. And this bad guy in our story, scripture story today, Blockhead, is not as smart as the bad guy in that godfather story. I shared with you already what had been going on. It was common for flocks to be attacked. And so it was a great courtesy, a great kindness, a great service that David's men had done for Blockhead. They had protected his sheep. They had protected his shepherds. Nothing had happened to his flocks while David was helping out. So when David hears that Blockhead is shearing his sheep, he very reasonably sends down a messenger saying, "You know, all of my men that have been guarding your wealth, they're hungry. Would you send them some food?" To which Blockhead replies, "David? I don't know any David. I've never heard of any David. I don't know what you're talking about. Why should I give you my drink, my meat, my grain? Why should I give you any of that?" And sent him home. Now, why did he do that? Blockhead was rich. It wasn't that he couldn't afford it. It was shearing time, so it wasn't that Blockhead did not have ready cash on hand. And it wasn't that it wasn't deserved, because David had been taking care of Blockhead's wealth for him. No, Blockhead didn't help simply because, as Scripture said, he was a hard man who did evil things. Evil and stupid things, that is. Because David, when he hears about Blockhead's response, arms 400 of his men and takes off for Blockhead's household. And he is determined to kill every male in that household. Now that would be, of course, Blockhead and the family members, but also the servants, also all of the shepherds and anyone who takes care of anything that belongs to Blockhead. David is set to kill all of those people. Now Abigail, Blockhead's wife, is not around to hear that, but the servants are. And being scared to speak to Blockhead himself, because they know that he is an evil man, they go to Abigail and tell her what has happened and implore her for help. And I think this is the place where things change for Abigail. I mean, she has lived in this marriage with Blockhead for some time now. He's been a blockhead all along. The staff couldn't stand him. His blockhead type of behavior was nothing new, but this time the consequences are huge. And Abigail realizes she can't stay quiet any longer. For her to stay quiet means that all of the men around her would be slaughtered, and silence is not an option. And so Abigail puts herself at great risk. She gathers together food, as you heard described in Scripture, what David asked for and more. She has the servants load them onto pack animals and does this without telling her husband Blockhead. And then she goes out to meet him. Not only does she meet David as he and his army of 400 are marching towards her, but she times it so that they meet in a ravine. That means in that narrow area, they must be face to face. They must see each other eye to eye. We lose that sometimes in this day and age, but there is power in seeing somebody face to face and in talking to them, where you can read their body language, where you can understand their responses, where you can hear the nuances in their tone of voice. It's so much better than typing off a well-reasoned email for understanding instead the responses that you're getting from that person. Abigail goes and meets him in a ravine face to face. And when she gets there, when he gets there, she chooses to set aside her ego. She gets off her donkey. She throws herself on the ground, face down in front of him, and says, "Please do not punish my blockhead husband, but if you have to punish someone, punish me instead." She has such courage and such bravery in those moments. She was willing to put her own life at risk for the cause of peace. It's an active peacemaking. She summoned the resources that she had on hand and used them to prevent innocent bloodshed. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." We think of peacemakers as those people who don't ruffle feathers, who leave well enough alone, those who remain quiet and to themselves. Abigail reminds us that true peacemaking involves summoning the resources you have, getting up on your donkey, going out into the wilderness to meet with somebody who might wish you harm, to get off your donkey, to set aside ego, and to speak the word of the Lord. And that's what Abigail did. You didn't hear that entire passage, partly because it's one of the longest speeches in the Bible, and I think is the longest speech recorded by a woman in the Bible. She says several things to David. First of all, she says, as I shared with you, "Please don't take it out on Blockhead." And then she goes on to speak a word of blessing to David. She actually prophesies the word of the Lord. As I shared with you, David is on the run right now. He has not yet been installed as king. He's hiding out in the wilderness. His future must have felt very uncertain to him. And Abigail tells him that the Lord will establish your house. And she gives him this word of hope and promise. And in fact, I remind you that in 6 weeks we'll be gathered here to begin to celebrate the fulfillment of what Abigail told David, because as you know, Jesus is of the house of David. Abigail's willingness to go out there paved the way for our Savior to come, her courage and her willingness. She told David one more thing. She said, God wants to make this great big house of you, but do not go and act in vengeance right now, because that will mar the house of God, the house that God wants to make for you. And because she spoke those words, David stopped. Peter Drucker has said people who don't take risks generally make about 2 big mistakes a year. People who do take risks generally make about 2 big mistakes a year. Risking or not, it's going to come out the same. And so Abigail's risk made a huge difference. As a result of Abigail's speech, David's response was this. David thanked God for sending Abigail to her, to him, saying, you kept me from taking vengeance into my own hands, and I am so thankful for that. You see, she enabled David to be able to let go of his need for vengeance. Vengeance has throughout our history been a source of violence. You studied Romeo and Juliet in high school. You know that vengeance really was the source of all the things that happened, but it continues to be repeated. Turn on the news and you'll hear about gang violence in our streets. You'll hear about wars that have been going on for generations that are built on vengeance, but we even see it closer to home. And even family arguments. Well, you insulted my husband. Let me tell you what I think of your children, and then you don't see each other for years. But when we can step away from vengeance, peace can occur. And that's what Abigail made happen. By the way, you might be pleased by the poetic justice of the rest of the story. While Abigail was in the ravine meeting face to face with David and saving her household, Blockhead was back at home partying, it says, as if he were king. So Abigail had created peace and wanted to come tell Blockhead what she had done. When she got home that night, he was too drunk for her to even talk to. So she had to wait till the next morning. And next morning, Abigail told Blockhead what she did. And he got so apoplectic and so upset that he had a heart attack right there and died 10 days later. And David then heard about Blockhead's death and immediately came and married Abigail himself. So Abigail got an immediate upgrade in husband right then and there. But even more than that, Abigail's actions prevented the slaughter of her household, and she also paved the way for the one who would be the 25th great-grandfather of Jesus. Because had David gone in, he may have been killed in that fight. He certainly would have had vengeance be a part of who he was, and she prevented all of that. By the way, Blockhead is not the last rich fool we will meet in Scripture. Jesus spoke about one, for instance, the man who, it was harvest season, and he had so many plants, such a great harvest, that it was more than he could eat, it was more than his barns could hold, and rather than give it away to people who needed it, he built himself bigger barns, put his great big harvest in there, looked around and said, soul, now we can eat, drink, and be merry, and fool, that very night, his soul was required of him. So Jesus said, is the one who lays up treasure for themselves and is not rich towards God. So where do you want to be in this story of Abigail and Blockhead and in your own story? Things do not turn out well for rich fools, those who trust in their own possessions rather than God, those who rely on others during their own tough time but forget about everybody else when they're doing well. Those who aren't kind to people who work for them or in need. And there's really not much good that Scripture has to say about those folks. But the Abigails, those are the ones who change the world. The ones who listen to other people's troubles. Those who are moved to action at the right time and not just to protect themselves, but to do good for others. Those who risk their own lives in an active seeking of peace. A world full of Abigails can make a world of difference and, in fact, have always only been the only thing that can. So will you pray with me? Oh God, make Abigails of us. Give us the courage, the resources that we need to step out for peace, to seek peace actively. I pray, oh God, that you use us in the places where you've put each one of us, that we may work together to create a world that reflects your peace and your glory. Amen.